So tonight we're going to be talking about the first session on communications. What I have right now is I've built basically a 4 to 5 month that we're going to be talking on communication because it's such a small subject, right? So tonight we're going to be talking about basically God's gift of gab and how we're and why we're created for communication. Next month we're going to be talking about, did you say what I heard? The mechanics of communication. The next month we're going to be talking about can we talk, styles of communication. And the next month we're going to be talking about the war of words and conflict in communication and how to handle that right. And then we might have one, I might break out one session on just sex and romance. Now for you dating and engaged couples, we'll talk overall about what dating is and romances and so on and what the Bible says about that. But when we get into more of the nitty-gritty stuff, I'd break you guys off into another room with a couple that could talk about how to protect your relationship and stay pure until God gives you that glorious time when you could be married. So that's kind of a 4 to 5 month overview of what we're thinking, all subject to change, with or without notice. So let's pray right now and we're going to get into the Word. Lord, we do come before you. We thank you so much for the time. I thank you for each and every person that has come here tonight. And I ask that you'd fill them with your spirit, that they'd feel and sense your presence. Lord, that they would walk away with one little tidbit, one little gold nugget that could change their lives and that they could hang on to, Lord. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be here and that you would just move in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to share with you the basic dictionary definition of communicate. It says the definition of communicate, to give to another, to impart or transmit, to give or interchange thoughts, feelings, information, or the like, by writing, speaking, etc. They communicate with each other every day. Some don't, right? To express thoughts, feelings, or information easily or effectively. Communication, a document or message imparting news or views. Now, we can honestly spend years probably on this. Anybody that has ended up getting going to get a degree, you have classes on communication. If you want to be in management, you have classes on communication because that's so much of your job and so much of what you do. Communication affects every part of our life. How many of you, I won't ask for a raise of hands, but okay, I will. How many of you don't have a cell phone? Gee, we all have one, right? It's a way of communicating. And sometimes it's a ball and chain, isn't it? And sometimes we could communicate on it and say something and push send and go, oh, I wish I didn't do that. And it comes out and we're in trouble. So we're going to learn how to prayerfully step back and think before we react in a lot of ways like that too. I looked and Googled on Amazon, actually, I went on Amazon and I looked for marriage and how many books there were and tapes on marriage. Over 300,000 hits. Okay, I looked under Christian marriage. Over 40,000. We can easily be on information overload. The world tells us how to communicate. The world tells us to stand up for ourselves versus what God says is to die to ourselves. The world tells us you're number one and God says for us to serve one another. So we're going to look at looking at it God's way and not man's way. I want to start out with a scripture, 1 Timothy 3:16. Many of you might know this, but if you don't, it's a real important scripture to understand. And it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's 1 Timothy 3:16. Now, you notice in it, the Word of God is inspired. It means literally it's God breathed. God breathed through His Word and gave us the inspiration and gave us what we need to hear. And it says it's profitable for doctrine, to understand the Word and where we should go and what we do spiritually. It also says it's good for reproof, which you could also say a rebuke. How many of us like to be rebuked? But you know, who God loves, He chastens, right? He rebukes and spanks us when He needs to. And it says for correction and instruction in righteousness. that we might be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God communicates to us through his word. So we need to understand in communication. And if we want to know what God wants to say to us, what we need to do, his word is what communicates to us. So we need his word big time. Remember, it doesn't really matter what I say. It doesn't really matter what Pastor Jack says. It doesn't matter what whoever says if you can't back it with the word of God. Does that make sense? It all has to be tested with the word of God. That's what our base is to grow in Jesus and to do what God wants us to do. I want to look at Genesis 2, 18 through 23 for a minute. Genesis 2, 18 through 23. The word says, "And the Lord said, it is not good for man should be alone. I will make a helper comparable for him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to the cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took his rib and closed his flesh. And the rib which God had taken out of man, he made into it woman, and brought her forth to man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." Now, in my Bible, right underneath it, and she's getting ready, I have, he said, "Wow, Della, sexy." Because I think he said, "bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh," but he said, "Wow, look what you gave me, God." Because, you know, what if God gave him a porcupine as his helper? Or a rhino? No, but God specifically made woman for man. And it was just perfect. She's perfect for man. And it goes on. God communicated why he made woman for man. If you notice there, he said, the purpose for marriage was to meet man's need for companionship in those words. Marriage was designed by God to defeat loneliness. Companionship is therefore the essence of marriage. I can tell you that there are many people that are lonely and they're married. They're lonely in their marriage because they're not communicating, because they're not on the same page with the Lord. They're not doing what God's called them to do. So I would ask if you're in that little stage yourself, to be able to break down the walls and learn how to communicate properly so that you can have the proper companionship that God would have you to have. I pray that as we go through this series, that your communication will grow with your partner, that you understand it's okay. Part of communication and doing it right is, frankly, having fun, not just taking life and things so seriously. I mean that, you know. I mean, my wife and I, we tease each other relentlessly with things. And I mean that in a positive sense. I'm going to give an example of yesterday. She tells me, "Do you want to?" And she gives me three choices. "Do you want to do this? Do you want to do this? Or do you want to do this?" Now, she's expecting that I'm going to say A, B, or C. And instead, I say no, yes, and no. And she goes, "Wait a minute. What order did I say those in?" Just have fun. Relax. We could go, "Why did you say that? Why did you do that? Why didn't you just say, you know, an answer?" Instead, we just laugh and have fun with that type of stuff. Proverbs 2, 10 through 17 says, "When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of evil. For the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of unrighteousness to walk in those ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in perversity of the wicked, whose sayings and ways are crooked, and who are divisive in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsake the companion of her youth and forgot the covenant of her God. As we see again, communication could be good or bad, can't it? We can do good things, and out of the same mouth comes blessings and cursings, right? We can do good or bad things. We also see that marriage is a covenant. I want to share a little bit more about that with another scripture. Malachi 2:14 says, "Yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant." She's your companion, and you're supposed to be together, working together, communicating together. I'm going to give those of you who are married an assignment, married men. You're going to want to read this scripture, okay? You might want to write it down. Proverbs 5, 15 through 23. We'll talk about it next month, but Proverbs 5, 15 through 23. Don't go turn into it now. Wait. And we'll talk about it next month. But I want to read to you what Jay Adams talks about, what a covenant marriage is, what it really means to have a covenant in your marriage. And those of you who are dating and engaged, I would assume that you're here because someday you want to get married, right? You're not here just because, well, let's go to that couples thing, but I never want to marry anybody. You're here because someday, unless God's giving you the gift of celibacy, you're going to get married. So prayerfully, these things will just continue to hit you. Even if I'm saying married couples, it applies to you for the future, laying that foundation. I know there's a couple couples in here that I know came to many of the married couples events we had before they were married, laying a foundation for when they did get married. And I know it's blessed their marriage at this point. Okay, so this is what Jay Adams explains as a covenant in marriage. He states, the Bible describes marriage as a covenant. The word for the most solemn and binding agreement known to man. There is commitment in marriage. It is a covenant of companionship. Marriage involves a covenantal agreement to meet all of your partner's needs for companionship on every level, sexual, social, spiritual, etc., for the rest of your life. It is therefore a final act. Christians, unlike non-Christians today, who enter into trial marriages, annual renewable marriages and contracts, and the like, need not live daily under the threat of divorce. The binding nature of the divine covenant assures them that divorce is not an option. That is the wonderful difference that Christians pose, a covenant that is made in a life commitment. Does that make sense? Now, if you've been divorced, it happens. If you've been divorced, and it was a biblical thing, there are reasons for divorce. That means now in the relationship you're in, make sure your covenant is proper. Does that make sense? Don't think, okay, I had a divorce, I'm a second-class citizen, I never could have a good marriage. That's absolutely from the enemy. God wants your marriage now to be perfect. He wants it now to be right. I remember there was a couple I counseled years ago, and the guy was a biker. And his wife came in to meet with me, and he hadn't even received Christ yet, but he wanted to hear what I had to say, because she was coming in saying, I'm a Christian now, and I divorced this guy because of X, Y, and Z. Should I go back to him or stay married to the guy I'm married to? You stay married to the guy you're married to. Make this work and move forward. He didn't beat me up because of that, but the bottom line is where you're at and what you're doing, do it as unto the Lord. Don't look back and feel guilty over what happened. Ask the Lord to move you forward. And it doesn't matter if you've been divorced, married, engaged, do it right as unto the Lord. So we must live the word and not just know it. A lot of people say, well, I know the word. Well, that's nice. You know the word. Satan knows the word, right? Right? He does. He uses it against us. But are you living the word? Are you living the word in everything you do? If you're having some problems, don't play ostrich or run. Does that make sense? Deal with the problems. And the less you communicate, the less you can deal with the problem. You need to communicate to be able to deal with the problem and not run from it. The word tells us to minister first in Jerusalem, right? Then Judea, then the utmost parts of the earth. Does that make sense? But Jerusalem is first your home. Men, You're the priest of your home. You're the pastor. Honestly, you are. If you're not looking at it that way, please do. You are the priest or the pastor of your home. It's your responsibility to communicate with your wife or your significant other or the one you're dating and make sure that you're on a godly path and doing godly things. So that's really important for us too. So we need to continue to make sure that we get our houses in order and do what God is calling us to do. God designed communication as the lifeblood of marriage. In Proverbs 18:19, it says, "A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. And connections are like the bars of a castle. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit." And then it goes on and says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." And then it goes on in verse 24 and says, "A man who has friends must himself be friendly." Isn't that interesting? We wonder, well, gee, no one's friendly to me. Are we being friendly also? And then it goes on and says, "Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool." So many times, once you say something, you just can't take it back. What time is it? Okay. How many of you have heard of the toothpaste communication example? Anybody? Some of you. Okay. So what I want a volunteer couple to come up here and do this with me. Who wants to volunteer? Okay, you two. Let me. Your significant other has to come too. And this is it's a new toothpaste. See, I just took off the lids. And somebody might want to go get some napkins for them because they might need it after this. Okay, what we're going to do is, can you guys see them right here? Here's the toothpaste. Come on over here, both of you guys. And you have 10 seconds to see if you can get all the toothpaste out of the tube, okay? All right, ready? Open it. And start counting from 10 backwards, guys. 10.
Nine.
Not all out, is it? And it's kind of a mess. Did your hands get a little messy? Not bad, but a little bit. Okay, so now I'm going to give you 20 seconds to put it all back in. Okay? Let's start counting from 20 backwards. Okay, let's see if you can do it. See how much you get back in. 20, 19, 18. Use your hands. You're not helping her. There you go, help her. Okay. Okay, show them your hands. And it's kind of a mess. Now, when we just spew out words real quickly, we make a mess. And it's not easy all the time to put it back in, is it? You guys are going to have to go wash your hands now. Huh? Thank you, guys. The point, honestly, for all of us, it's real easy, especially with text, with whatever, to just spew something out. We get mad and we say something and I just got to do it. And you notice, it wasn't even all out. I had more to say. I had more to put out. I wanted to do more. And then all of a sudden, you step back and you go, oh my gosh, how do I take it back? How do I put it all back in the tube? But the mess is all over the place. I mean, we just do that. So we need to make sure that we step back and we just don't try to get it all out, because you're never going to get it all back in. And especially if you're not prayed through and asking the Spirit, what should I say and what shouldn't I say? Does that make sense? Okay. And it says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Oh my goodness, man, can we, you know, how many of you have been hurt just as bad by someone's tongue lashing than them punching you in the mouth, especially as guys, you know? Yeah, honestly, you could punch me and it's like, okay. But you say things that cut me, it's just hard. It hurts. We don't forget those things. A bruise, honestly, a lot of times, and I'm not saying hit each other, don't do that. But a bruise goes away. Sometimes those emotional scars that happen to you, that somebody says to you, somebody tells you, it just doesn't go away easy. We need to continue to ask God to help us and continue to look for repentance and do the right things. The other thing that says, are you friendly? It says we're supposed to be friendly, right? What does that mean, being friendly? Anybody have any suggestions? What does it mean to be friendly? Anybody want to say anything? Approachable, okay. What? Polite. Anything else? Hospitable. Friendly. Encouraging. Available. Considerate. You must have a truck? Wow. Okay, anything else? Anything else? Okay, just think about those maybe 10 or 15 things that somebody said about that people said about being friendly. Are you doing all of those things with your spouse? Are you approachable? Are you loving? Are you kind? Are you cheerful around them? Are you? I mean, but are you doing those things? If we did just those things, our relationships would be better. One of the things I like to always say, and you'll probably hear me say this numerous times over the times we get together, is that woman sitting next to you, she is first God's daughter. How are you treating God's daughter? She is secondly your sister in the Lord. How are you treating God's sister in the Lord? Okay, women, you're smirking at that. That man next to you is first God's son. And then he's your brother. You know, so many times we treat other people in the world better than we treat our significant others. We say nasty words or we don't give them grace and mercy. Because remember, not saying something is communication also, isn't it? I'm biting my tongue because I want to say something, but I shouldn't. And in communication, there's a sender and a receiver, and sometimes we send things we shouldn't send, but the receiver gets it because we sent it. Does that make sense? So we need to constantly make sure we know when to bite our tongues and when to communicate properly to each other. Then it talks about, are you walking in integrity? Do you walk in integrity? What are you communicating to your significant other when you're not walking in integrity? What are you communicating to them when you are walking in integrity? You're communicating that you love God, that you love them, that you respect them, because you're going to walk in the integrity of the Lord. Those of you who are dating, if you're dating and you're not married, part of your integrity in communicating your love for God and your love for them is making sure you're pure in your sexual relationships. That's showing integrity, right? That's communicating God's love. That's communicating your love to that significant another. In your marriage, it's different. Prayer with your spouse is a communication builder. When we're praying, we're communicating to God, and we're also asking God to communicate to us. Does that make sense? Philippians 4:6-9 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if anything is lovely, meditate on these things. And the things which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, do these, and the peace of God will be with you. So we learn in verbal and nonverbal communication, right? We learn by the things we see the other person do also, not just what they say. I have, talking about prayer, these books are available in the bookstore, and again, I'm hoping to have a book table in the back starting next month where specific things we're talking about would be available, but The Power of Prayer to Change Your Marriage, The Power of a Praying Wife, The Power of a Praying Husband, The Power of a Praying Parent. Those are all in the bookstore if you want to get them, but real important thing, are you communicating your love for God and for each other by praying together? Are you doing that? In James 5, 13 through 16, it says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call upon the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, it will be taken from him. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, righteous prayer of a man avails much. So another thing you need to do is be willing to have people pray for you. That's humbling. But you need to be able to do that. You need to be able to say, we're struggling. Can you pray for me? Now, real important in communications, communication can't become gossip. Does that make sense? Who are you asking to pray for you? And how, you know, I'd like you to pray for my husband because he's a real louse and blah, 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 blah. No, that's not what I'm talking about, you know. And also, who you pray with ought to be in a protected circle that you know they're not going to have loose lips and tell other people. And that your spouse knows about that. Does that make sense? Okay, so here's the deal. Della and I are having problems. I say, Della, you trust Bob. Is it okay if I share the situation with Bob? And we pray about it and get some information and then we'll get back and talk about it. That's when there's a deadlock. Does that make sense? She says, yeah, I trust Bob. He's a godly man. He's going to tell you good things. Same with her. She says, hey, can I talk to Carol? Carol's a godly woman. I have this problem. Can I talk to her? That's communicating and keeping your circle tight and protected and making sure that you both trust the person they're talking to versus them talking to five people or six people. Now you're thinking, everyone knows our problems and what's going on. Does that make sense? I mean, I know it does because it's probably happened to all of us. We've all done things or said things we shouldn't have said. Pull it back. Don't let that happen anymore. Also, if you're having problems, don't be embarrassed to come up to one of the people with the lanyards and say, can you pray for me? Sunday morning, Wednesday, go up and ask for prayer. God uses prayer, obviously, big time. James 1, 19 through 22 says, so then, my brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Be therefore doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Again, being doers of the word. Communication, again, part of it is being swift to hear. I mean, if I think communication is all me just saying everything and my wife not saying anything back to me, that's not communicating. That's either barking out orders or being a dictator. Does that make sense? Communication is listening also. We have to listen to our significant other to know what's going on. Do we lay aside all filthiness? All of it. Anything. Don't allow it to get in the middle of your relationship or your relationship with God. Get rid of it. And being doers of the word. We communicate honestly way more by our actions than we do by our words. Does that make sense? Okay, let me give you maybe a vivid example of it. I'm Bill, and my wife's name is Jill. Don't ask me why, but Bill and Jill, right? They come to my office, and they need biblical guidance. And Bill says, I really love Jill. Jill says, you do not. He goes, what do you mean? I love you. She goes, you never show me I love you. And he goes, I do too. I love you. What are you going to believe? Does that make sense? I mean, really, he just hit her in the mouth. But I said I love you. But everybody, your actions is showing you don't love that person. Does that make sense? And that could be in little areas, you know. I love you. Whatever. Wait. The game's on. What are you communicating? How important is that person to you? Real important to make sure the priority is that person, not only verbally, but in everything you do and every action you make. You know, honestly, our spouses could tell whether they have our attention or not. I mean, this thing is a wonderful thing that I hate because it's necessary and it really helps me. But there are times even that Della goes, George? oh, yeah. Because it could rip off our communication and rip off our time together. Now, I know that never happens to you guys, but it's so easy to do. Well, wait, just one more thing. Let me finish this. Well, wait a minute. What am I saying? What am I communicating to Della? You're not as important? I don't mean that, honestly, and she is more important, but that's what she's feeling. There's an old expression that feelings aren't necessarily right or wrong. They just are. Does that make sense? I mean, I could feel that Bill hates me. Well, why? I just feel that way. So then you have to get to the root of what it is. But if I'm doing something like that, she could feel like I don't care about her. I care more about my phone and what's going on. And I'm communicating the wrong message to her. So you need to make sure the priority. We try to say, even with our kids when we can, that, hey, there's a safe zone. Let's put our devices away and let's have a time where we communicate and we're talking to each other. It's more important to communicate to each other than to be on these devices. I tease people when I see like a husband and wife standing there both on the phone. I say, are you texting each other? Well, they're not, but, you know, it's easy to do that. Okay, in James 3:1-12, the word says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in the word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so smallly driven by the wind. Look at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder. You guys know that? You have this big boat, and you have this little rudder that can just totally turn it. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets afire the course of nature, and it sets on fire by hell. For every kind of beast of birds and reptile and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings, my brethren. These things ought not to be. Does a spring set forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brother, bear olives and grapevines and bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. Does that make sense? I mean, my goodness, It's like, number one, I stumbled over some of the words, but I feel we should read it again just to say, oh my gosh, what the tongue could do. The tongue can totally destroy. I'm sure you've seen the tongue totally destroy people and relationships. It's just amazing. Tongues, again, could be used to bless or curse. We need to think before we speak. Well, you know, now I know you're saying, well, you don't understand. I can't control myself. You know, this is just the way it is. I can't control myself. I want to ask you a question, okay? Here we are. Della and I are fighting. Everything's going. We're yelling and screaming and fighting. And boy, we're mad. We've built up to this big thing. The phone rings. Hello? Oh, you've done that, haven't you? I mean, it's true. But yet, I just said I can't control myself. Well, we can. We choose not to. We allow that anger, we allow that bitterness to build up in us, and then we're not communicating properly with each other. So step it back. Don't allow it. You know, how many of you have kids? Do you allow them to start yelling and screaming at you, or do you stop it before that? But yet a lot of times in our relationship, we allow it to get out of control versus saying, hey, wait a minute, we need to slow down. We need to give each other a time out, okay? And I mean that. If that's what it takes, you need to say, wait, this is not productive. The Bible says, be angry and yet don't sin. Don't let the sun go down in your anger. What does that mean? That means there's times when you agree to disagree agreeably. And you pray and you say, we'll talk about it tomorrow. We both love Jesus, right? Right? That should be number one. We both love each other, right? Right? Then let's just let this alone for now and move forward. How about this? I see this a lot too. People are coming to church. I know this has never happened to you either. And they're yelling and arguing about the kids, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And they come in to get out of the car. Hi, how you doing? But what I'm trying to say is we can control ourselves. We just need to step back and control our tongue. We need to just take and bridle the tongue and pull it to where it needs to go to shut up and not do the things that we should do. And I said the S word and I shouldn't have. Shut up. Really, we need to just bridle our tongues and do the right thing and step back and communicate to each other properly. I want to share a little bit about nonverbal communications again too. In 1 Peter 3, 1 through 11, it says, wives likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some don't obey the word, that they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging of hair, wearing of gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with an incorruptible beauty of the gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of the Lord. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to your wife as the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Gosh, can you imagine if we could do that, you guys? I mean, seriously, if we could really, you know, if the women could win us over without speaking a word by their chaste conduct. The Bible talks about that, and where it's saying there is, it says, even if some do not obey the word, because you could say, well, my husband doesn't know God. Well, it says, even if some don't obey the word. Well, my husband's a Christian, but he's not acting like a Christian. Well, even if some don't obey the word, you're still supposed to do the right thing. Does that make sense? Men, the same thing. Are we giving the grace, the tender heartedness? Are we not returning evil for evil to our spouses? How are we? Are we leading properly and loving properly like God would have us to do? Now, I'd like to tell you right now who should start, whether it's the man or the woman. Okay, and I want this to be real clear. So look at me. Know who needs to start and be the biggest person and forgive first, communicate first, and love first. The person is you. Okay, the person that should do it is you. You. I love doing that in biblical guidance because the couple's waiting for me to say the other person, and no, you're both responsible. You're both responsible to do the right thing. You're both responsible to communicate properly, not waiting for the other person. Well, they're not doing it. It doesn't matter. You're supposed to do, no matter what Della does, I'm responsible to God to do the right thing. Does that make sense? No matter what I do, Della's responsible to do the right thing is unto the Lord. It doesn't matter what I'm doing or what she's doing. I'm a Christian man. I'm a Christian husband. I'm a Christian father. And I need to do those things right. And then it's her responsibility to do what God's called her to do. The problem is so many times we try to play Holy Spirit. And when we try to play Holy Spirit, it never works, does it? Makes things worse. You know, we put a note in our husband's sandwich when he's going to work. And, oh, I love you. You better make sure you take the trash out when you get home. No, don't do that. Pray for them, love them, win them over without speaking a word. Have that happen in all ways. God wants great marriages and great relationships. I like to tell people, honestly, and I've seen them both in everything I've done, you can have a taste of heaven on earth or a taste of hell on earth in your marriage or your relationship. It's your choice, honestly. I get up and choose every day whether I want to do the right thing or not. Does that make sense? I mean, honestly, I could choose tomorrow I'm going to start yelling and screaming and throwing things in the house. Well, that's really neat. Or I could choose, you know what? I'm going to do the right thing. And we're communicated and bombarded with so many things on our phones, in the world, on the news, that it would be real easy to just get sucked into that stuff. Don't get sucked into it. Make sure we're communicating what God says and in God's heart with everybody. You might say, well, I've tried all this stuff. I've tried everything. Well, maybe you're not trying it the right way or you're not doing it God's way. I would pray that if you're having problems with communications and you're having problems in your marriage or your relationship, to pray and ask God, what do I need to do? Not what does she or he need to do? Real important. It's real easy for us to say, well, if he would only change or if she would only change. But how about me first? It's my responsibility first to do the right thing no matter what. Maybe you tried the right thing in the wrong way. I mean, seriously, call and ask for help if you need to. How many of you, I'm not getting, okay. If you're having a bad relationship, I want to give you one scripture that perfectly, how many of you are Christians here, first of all? How many, are you all Christians? If you're not, talk to me afterwards. I'd like to share with you, and I mean that. If you don't know Christ, I'd love to talk to you afterwards. But if we're Christians, I want to know if you really believe Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created what? How many of you believe that? Put your hands up high. How many of you believe that? Okay, keep your hands up right now. Now, if you believe that, then you'd have to put your hands up to believe that your marriage and your relationship could be better because God can do that, and you believe it. He could make your marriage wonderful. You could put your hands down. Does that make sense? He could totally make your marriage wonderful. He could make your relationship wonderful. He could change your spouse. You don't need to do that. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to be the Holy Spirit. There's a sheet that we're going to pass out right now, and it's called Communication Guidelines. And what I'd like you to do is put in it, there's 13 questions, and it's basically you're going to rate yourself where you're at, not your spouse. Be a ready listener, being slow to speak. Don't go to bed angry. And you're going to rate where you're at on that. I'd like you to rate where you're at that. And then don't be honest with yourself and where you're at. And then pick just one or two of them over the next couple weeks that you can do better at. Does that make sense? Just one or two. Don't say, oh, man, I'm bad in all these. Well, take one or two and get better at it. And again, I mean this. I don't want you to leave here discouraged. I want you to leave here encouraged. No matter where you're at, you can be better, right? I don't care who. If you say I've arrived, you're a liar. You have not arrived. We can all do better. We can all grow in the Lord. So be honest with yourself and say, okay, I've got work to do, and then start on it. And what I'd like to do, I'm going to have these available each month, and maybe at the end of the 4 or 5 months, what we'll do is you take it again. And I don't want you to do this. I'm not even going to say it. Okay, so do that. Take just a couple minutes and evaluate where you're at and what you think. And if you want to, you might then tell your spouse or significant other in the next hours, day, whatever, this is an area I know I need to improve in. I'm going to work on this. And then, does that make sense? Are we willing to do that? So I'm willing to, it says, don't respond in uncontrolled anger. I know I have a problem with responding in uncontrolled anger, so I'm going to try to really control that. I'm going to be reading these scriptures. Will you pray for me as I work on that? Okay? Now, the other spouse that hears that, don't say, finally, you got it. Don't do that. I'm serious. Say, well, praise the Lord. I'll pray for you. I love you. I'll help you through it any way I can. So look at one at least that you can improve on, and then let your significant other know that you're going to be working on that in the future. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we just thank you for this night. I thank you for each couple that came tonight, and I ask that you would fill them with your love, with your spirit, with your heart. That, Lord, they would feel and sense your presence like never before, Lord, that you would wrap your arms around them. Lord, that they would not leave here with condemnation, but Lord, if you shared with them something they need to change, some area they need to change in, that you would help them change in that area, Father. Help them to be open and honest with you, with each other, and Lord, by your Spirit, do the work that you've begun. In Jesus' name, amen.